skip the legal thing.
Are we ready to go? Carla, you ready? Good afternoon, everybody. This is the May 10th, 2018 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Udaly? Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Could you please read item 459?
Appeal on behalf of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association against Design Commission's decision of approval for design review with modifications and concurrent greenway review for the Fremont Apartments, a 17-story mixed-use building at 1650 Northwest NATO Parkway, LU 16-278-621-DZMGW.
Colleagues, this is a continued hearing on this matter. At the last hearing on April 4th, we reopened the record to allow the applicant to submit design revisions and to allow other participants to respond to those revisions. Today, we're going to take testimony from the applicant, staff, the appellant, and interested persons. Then we expect to close the record and deliberate towards a tentative decision. Before we begin, I'd like to ask the members of the council whether they have any new ex parte contacts or site visits to declare since our last hearing.
Mayor, I'll start. I believe I've seen a couple of news articles about this matter, and I believe that my staff has met with a number of interested parties, but they have not briefed me on those meetings.
Commissioner Fritz.
I've seen a number of news articles and a number of emails.
Same for me. Does anyone present in the chamber have any questions they would like to ask any of the three of us, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Fritz, or myself, about those stated ex parte contacts, even though they're not really ex parte contacts? Yes, no? Sir, come up. Identify yourself for the record.
Commissioner who is seated there.
I'm sorry?
You have to come to the microphone, otherwise it can't be shown on the captioning.
And please state your name for the record. Thanks.
Yes, well, sir, Mayor, I think you forgot to take note of Commissioner Udaly.
Did you have an ex parte contact, Commissioner
Udaly? I'm perfectly capable of expressing that. And no, I haven't read any articles. I haven't read any emails. I haven't been briefed by my staff. There's nothing.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you. So does anybody have any questions for those of us who have declared ex parte contacts? Seeing none, good. Let's move on. So the order of testimony is as follows, unless legal counsel corrects me. The applicant will get 10 minutes. The staff report will take up to 10 minutes. The principal appellant gets up to 15 minutes. Public testimony would be 3 minutes each. And then the applicant rebuttal, if so needed, 5 minutes. Very good. So we'll start with the applicant. You have up to 10 minutes. Of course, you're not required to use it, but you have up to that amount of time. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Afternoon. Page down. Perfect. Afternoon. Tim Weibinger with TVA Architects.
Yeah. Patrick Gilligan, Lincoln Property Company.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, and thank you for giving us an opportunity to come back and reopen the record so we could make some revisions and also to come and describe sort of what we've been up to here. So I'll try to move through this quickly, and certainly if there are any questions along the way or following, I'd be more than happy to answer those. Just a basic overview since our last hearing. As you know, we were expected to return revised design by April 11th. Following that, we elected to reach out to the PD&A, thinking that maybe a good move to get us toward resolution. So on April 17th, we actually went and presented to the Pearl District's Planning and Transportation Committee, as we'd done several times before. So that they could then carry an opinion of the recommended design changes to the board. And then on May 9th, just yesterday, we've provided, through the clerk, a new set of technical documents that basically replicates the design review technical documents in our prior submittal to the new design. So no new information, really just refinement of what had been submitted on April 11th. In terms of what we've done to evolve the design of this project, based on your comments on the interaction with the Pearl District and the BDS staff, as well as some guessing as to what were the issues we were tackling, it really broke down into four categories, and that's how I've got this presentation set up. The first thing was to look at the distance between the seawall and the building itself. The second one was the clear width of the greenway path, some look at the building's overall massing, and then something that we've been working on, which is in the category of additional public benefit. So to start from where we were on the design, this again was compliant with greenway standards but caused a good number of issues with some of the appellants. And what we've done since this point is targeted two primary areas. So from that previously approved design, we're looking at moving the building wall back from the seawall, and secondly, to create more usable open space
Sorry to interrupt. Oh. Carla, could you freeze the clock? We have a tradition here. When kids come to the chamber, we like to find out where they're from. Where are you from? Bend. Welcome. Excellent.
Wow. That's quite the field
Are you
trip.
Guys having fun?
Yeah.
All right.
So good. How many of you would like to become architects? Okay, we have summer internship programs at the Hacker and Associates right here. Talk to this guy.
It's TVA, but be warned, we work nights and weekends.
How many of you would like to be city commissioners?
That's hopefully...
Oh, one. We got one. Oh, right. One and a half.
Great.
Okay, well, architects win.
Welcome to Portland City Hall. We're thrilled that you're here. Thank you for being here, kids. Thank you. All right, you
Excellent.
Can continue. Thank you for your...
That's great. As I said, they don't know about the architects' work nights and weekends comment on record here a couple weeks back. So moving through, we're looking to make revisions to the design in these two key areas. So basically what we're doing is trying to pull the building face landward and then find additional space by pulling the railing outbound. And the net result of this, plus one other move, so... Just by moving that railing, which was suggested to us by Parks, but it was in a part of the process that was beyond the point we could make changes in design review, that picks up 2.5 feet of usable space for the public. We've pushed the building facade back 13.5 feet, and additionally, we've moved the building towards NATO Parkway by 1.5 feet. So the net result is an additional 17.5 feet of open space between the seawall and the building. So that's kind of our final product. You can kind of see how much space we have there. So the big picture numbers here, 43'4" is now the closest point of any part of the building. As you may recall, the property line of the building facade are at a skewed angle. That's the closest point anywhere between the building and the seawall. And the minimum walkway width, which was previously 13'0" is now 20 feet. And then I mentioned Central City 2035. Our understanding of the way that code is being written is that there's an actual averaging of the dimension on the greenway. So we have reason to believe we're actually in compliance, but we certainly have approximated that with this new design. In terms of the path width itself, on a day not nearly as nice as today, I can tell you that I measured myself all the way from South Waterfront to north of the Fremont Bridge. And what we've discovered is that at 20 feet clear, this will be the widest section of greenway path from south to north.
For the record, the Parks Bureau doesn't entirely agree with those measurements, but that's not actually...
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear
you.
The Parks Bureau doesn't entirely agree with your measurements,
oh.
But that it's not the basis for the findings, so I just wanted to say that for the record.
Understood. Okay, thank you. So basically, the places we've looked at where the paved section is widest would be at Waterfront Park, as you would expect, and those are typically 18 feet. There are spaces for park benches and so on, but in that 18 feet, typically there's one of the large cleats for tying off ships at the waterfront that takes that effective width down to 13. So if nothing else, even if Park's taking issue, we're certainly in that line and far beyond anything that's in this portion. The new projects to the north of the Fremont Bridge are also quite close, and those are 18 foot 6 inches of pavement. So we're exceeding what's been recently built to the north. Okay, similarly, so to take a look at this in plan view, just to make sure you're understanding what we're doing technically, this is the prior design, which was approved by the Design Commission, and you can see where those couple pinch points were that took that down to that 13.5 feet, just to show you graphically kind of how we're getting this space. So this first bit of hatching there in red shows both the foreshortening of the building and the moving of the building, that extra foot and a half landward toward NATO Parkway. In the second image here, you'll see what the changes have done to the effective width of the greenway path itself. So everything that's in pink there is now usable, walkable, rideable, hardscape, where it previously was a combination of benches and landscape and unusable space between the railing and the seawall. And this is just a bit more graphic look at that, a rendered site plan of kind of what the different pieces and parts are to that greenway. You can see we're really creating a substantial public space here, and I'll go in a little bit more detail as to what that is. There are two changes that have come about through, we've had an ongoing series of conversations with the BDS staff as they've reviewed our April 11 submission. We've had some conversations to see what we could do to make sure that we're in line with and continuing to better our meeting of the guidelines. Two things that came up during that review: in our haste to get that submission into April 11, we honestly skipped right past the fact that in creating these two artist studios, we neglected to provide an accessible path to those. Right? You may recall there's a 3-foot elevation change between the first floor, ground floor of this building and the greenway. So what's shown in the lower view here is we've incorporated what's not technically a ramp because it's at a 1-to-20 slope, meaning it's a gradual enough slope, there's no need for handrails or anything else, but a fully accessible route to that deck and to those artist studios. And then somewhere along the line, we had a request for a drinking fountain that I believe will provide water to pedestrians and pets. And so I'm not sure where that came from, but we've incorporated that as well. And just to kind of look at some of these aerial views to kind of see the increased spread, you know, we're still dealing with the fact that the greenway currently ends at the south end of the site. But this linkage and the new geometry and the width really set it up nicely for future 2035 compliant projects to the south. And again, just to make sure we're kind of referencing back to the existing, you can kind of see at the lower left there where we were on the previous design for the same image. So the walkway itself, again, now we're at 20 feet clear. This is just some people in here for scale to give an idea of how much space there is. You can see it's actually quite generous and really feels like a good bit of the rest of the waterfront in terms of the scale in the more public areas.
Can you go back to slides for a sec? Just have a quick question.
Sure.
Yeah, the difference between the previously approved design and the revised design, to the extent that people will pay a premium to have river views and to be facing the river, do we have any reason to believe that the further setback has any impact on the experience that someone has living in the building and taking in the river?
Meaning, would their views be diminished?
Yeah, I mean, one argument about being close to the river is there's fewer obstructions. Further back, you have a different perspective. Does it make any difference?
I don't know that I could say that for sure.
I don't think so. I think part of the lure is being that close to the waterfront, the reason you want to live down there. So I don't think it's going to have a detrimental impact in our knowledge. But the further you get back, obviously, the darker it gets and the more you're exposed to the pedestrian level. So it'd be noisier, obviously.
Yeah. Just looking at these two slides, my impression is that the revised plan just feels less cramped. It feels more open,
sure.
More airy, less cramped.
I think the other thing that's a benefit here is that we were working on the integration of the public space, the private space, and the transitional landscape, and actually some of that had to do with Commissioner Fritz's comments about kind of keeping those separate. In the end, it allows sort of differentiated zones for those things to happen, but I think all this puts more eyes on the greenway, and particularly at the point where in that we have more deck, more public space, more space for people. So I think that's a general benefit to the overall.
Thank you.
Sure. In terms of massing, we've kind of covered this ad nauseum, certainly with the design commission and with the neighborhood. Something that we've come back to on the massing is, although the council has made it quite clear that views are not a consideration, they were a design factor. And so a lot of the massing of this building and the way it's pushed the way it is has to do with consideration of views and sight lines from the Pearl District neighbors. And secondly to that, something to keep in mind here is that through the available bonuses, it would actually have been quite easy to get to a full 5-to-1 FAR at 4.2-to-1. The amount of mass that's represented in this building is actually 84% or thereabouts of what could be built on the site with the allowable bonuses. So we feel like we've done a lot to this point to keep the mass sort of in line and what's appropriate to the site.
But you're not using the locker room bonus anymore, right? So it's more like 95% of what the without that bonus?
It's 84% of what we could do, right? So if we'd included the locker room bonus, if we increased the amount of green roof, we could easily hit that full 5-to-1. That's what I was referencing, not of what's calculated.
So how many units are we missing? Could you have built that you're not building?
Well, one of the interesting things about that is the unit count is something that is not technically part of the design review process, and the reason for that is that you could easily divide this building into much smaller units, and as the economic picture for this building continues to change, the longer it's delayed and the more expensive it gets, we'll probably have to continue to study that. So I don't think I would be fabricating something if I could tell you what that number of units is.
That's fair.
And then sort of looking at the north elevation and the massing, so this is that very strange condition where we have the actual setback, which is the 25-foot greenway, which we had never been in, and then there's a step back that goes up at that 1-foot horizontal to 1-foot vertical that makes that light blue section of the 45-degree. And so by pulling the building back, we've actually reduced the amount that we're in that step back, and I'll show you in a little more detail what we're proposing here, if you haven't followed that from our submission. The idea is we're taking out one of these glass and masonry bays, which is why that's a 13.5-foot dimension, and then we're adding a story atop that to kind of keep the total number of units intact.
So could I just ask a question on that previous slide?
Sure.
Why aren't you just stair-stepping it back so that you actually are outside the 45-degree?
Well, we had a good bit of stair-stepping in this building to try and use the letter of the code through our design and through the design review process. We spent a lot of time talking about the massing, and the intention of that 45-degree setback is not to create something that looks like a Vegas hotel. It's to allow the buildings to step down to the river. So in a lot of this actually costs us one or two additional hearings with the design commission. We had a piece that stair-stepped, and they never cared for it.
Yeah, thank you.
So that kind of became filtered out through the process. As you said, we've removed the bike, the need for the bike modification by going to standard size racks. It did cost us 66 bikes, but we're still providing more than the amount of bikes required by code. And then again, we've pushed the building forward 18 inches. This is a technical point. We can come back to it if you'd like. But the intention was to mitigate the issue with a modification for landscaping between the building and NATO Parkway. And then another thing that's important to hit on, because this kind of goes to our main pitch here, is this project provides something like 10,000 square feet of additional plaza beyond what's required. And so when the numbers come back that we're 80-some percent in sun and shade, it's because we're counting all that. So the main thing that we wanted to address here, and it had to do with, in particular, with Commissioner Fritz's comment regarding the noon plaza on that one day of the year. So we've augmented our design with a plaza at the south end to give that outlet for a place. It doesn't do us any good with BDS, and it doesn't take away that modification. But as a practicality, we're providing a space where people can go out on virtually any day of the year and sit outside and enjoy the sun.
Okay, so that's just to make the shadow less, and I would prefer that you just ask for the modification for the 84%, which I'm ready to give you, because calling the Greenway a plaza causes all kinds of other problems.
And this is from our April 11th submission. BDS has taken the same opinion that you have. So what I'm trying to express is we're trying to solve the practical problem. We've sort of lost the battle on whether or not that helps us to remove a modification, I think.
So you still need the modification, so don't call it a plaza.
Sure.
So how much longer is your presentation? I'm inclined to let you finish, but then I want to give the appellant additional time.
There's really just a couple slides here, and you've probably already reviewed these things, but just to go through quickly, we've added at the south end, in addition to that larger public space, we've incorporated these studios, which are creative studios. So those were two short-term stay apartments. We're using them for art studios. It's a way to kind of integrate this part of the Greenway with art and to activate what's currently a dead end here. So that's one piece we're working at. This is that plaza space, and you can see the kind of fold-away doors on those two artist studios to try and get that Pearl Art District character really front and center on this building, on the Greenway. This is just kind of the overview of those changes. So you can see, you know, we're providing, and I think just to end here, we believe that we were already providing an enormous amount of public benefit in this project, and by the modifications that we've been able to make in the last month or so, you know, we're doing things that I would say exceeds any project that's not actually a publicly funded park, and it'll be a real benefit to the Pearl District and other users of the waterfront.
Quick question, and I obviously love the addition of the affordable art space and the way you've designed this. How does the developer intend to maintain this as affordable? And what does affordable mean?
Sure. So we've met, so far we've been trying to reach out. Obviously it's moving quickly, but we had a good meeting with PNCA on trying to find a way to curate these, because I love art, I'm a musician, that's great, but I'm not in the business of curating art studios, so we want to find a group that we can kind of work with to help us, you know, put together sort of a method of understanding of how that would be curated and really sort of put some guidelines and rules and regs to allow them to sort of make those successful. So we're actively working on that right now. I think for us it's really looking at what a ground floor retail rent would be and heavily discounting it. Fortunately, these are spaces that, for us, originally they started out as sort of being almost like in-law units for guests in the building, which has become a great thing, where if you have people who come and visit, they have a place to stay versus having to go to a hotel. And then we sort of looked at, maybe it's going to be some more waterfront retail, and that's where we pivoted to this last piece of, hey, this could be an interesting opportunity to bring in a community sort of stakeholder to help us kind of curate the space. So we're in active discussions there. Obviously, our intention would be to subsidize them where they're not obviously a loss to us, but also not really meant to be a profit center, but more of a community benefit in the long run.
And this was not live work, right? This is just
correct. No,
work.
just like basically just space. Yes, just work, not live.
Well, I love the idea, so thank you for incorporating it.
Yeah, no, you're welcome.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Excellent.
So we're going to add 1 minute and 34 seconds to the appellant should they need it when they come up. But I thought it was important to hear the full presentation. Thank you. Next up is the staff report. 10 minutes or less.
Hopefully less. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Benjamin Nielsen, Senior Planner with the Bureau of Development Services. Today I'll be providing a very brief summary as to how the proposed revisions respond to Council's deliberations from the March 7th and April 4th Council hearings and how these revisions address the approval criteria. The Council identified the proposed building's relationship to the Greenway setback and Greenway Trail as being of primary concern during deliberations of this appeal. Specifically, the trail, as originally proposed, was found to be too narrow and the building too close to and imposing on the trail and the river. The proposed revisions, which include increasing the width of the Greenway Trail, increasing the distance from the seawall to the edge of the building, setting the restaurant and deck behind additional landscaping, adding two artist studios along the Greenway Trail, and finally adding a drinking fountain along the trail, better satisfy several guidelines in the Central City Fundamental Design Guidelines, the River District Design Guidelines, and the Willamette Greenway Design Guidelines. As a reminder, these guidelines comprise three of the five sets of approval criteria for this design review and Greenway review. Regarding modifications, modification number two, standards for all bicycle parking, bicycle racks, has been removed from the proposal. The long-term bike storage room has been redesigned to include floor-mounted racks that meet the development standard. Additionally, because the bike racks will no longer be mounted to the wall, condition of approval H, which reads, the proposed wall-mounted bike racks shall be staggered vertically by a minimum of 6 inches, should be deleted from the Design Commission's final findings. The request for modification number four, required open area development standards, shadow standard, has been slightly reduced. Less shadow will fall on the plaza at noon on April 21st, and this amounts to approximately 78.5% of the plaza will be in shadow versus the 84% in the original proposal. The standard requires no more than 50% of park and plaza areas to be in shadow at noon, and this is not counting the south plaza area. Modification request number five to the North Pearl subarea waterfront development standards has two parts. The modification request to Part B of this standard, setbacks for all development from the Willamette River, has been slightly reduced as well. The portion of the river-facing podium projecting into the angled greenway setback, as shown in the blue shading, will be reduced by about 5 feet 5 inches. The portion of the tower projecting into the setback will be reduced by about 1 foot 6 inches. And I also wanted to note, the applicants implied just now that the Design Commission caused this modification to happen, but actually no options were ever shown which did not require this modification. The modification request to Part C of the standard, maximum building dimension, has been substantially reduced. The proposed building length perpendicular to the river will be 217 feet 3 inches, as opposed to the original proposal, which was 230 feet 9 inches. The proposed revisions to the building design have also affected floor area bonuses earned. Floor area bonuses are needed in order to achieve the proposed square footage. The total building floor area has actually increased slightly by 398 square feet with these revisions. The originally proposed locker room bonus floor area has been removed from the proposal because that floor area was not needed. The eco roof floor area bonus has been reduced in size by about 2,814 square feet due to the slightly smaller roof area now proposed. This bonus now earns 33,620 square feet in development area, down from 36,434 square feet. The residential floor area bonus remains unchanged at 144,160 square feet, equaling the full 2-to-1 FAR bonus allowed through this bonus option. And total FAR of the proposal is 4.24 to 1. The applicants are proposing to use approximately 95% of their total FAR allocation. That's based on the base FAR and the earned FAR bonuses and not the total potential for the site. Finally, since the locker room bonus has been removed, condition of approval K, which reads, at least one long-term bike parking space shall be shown in each dwelling unit or otherwise accounted for within the building at the time of permit to earn the requested locker room bonus, should be deleted. This condition was originally added to ensure that all code requirements were met to earn the floor area bonus. The council has three alternatives today. Deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve the land use review. Deny the appeal and uphold the Design Commission's decision to approve with additional conditions of approval, or rather with the two that I suggested be removed, the land use review. Or grant the appeal and overturn the Design Commission's decision to approve the land use review, thereby denying the proposal. One final note, the C exhibit numbers cited in the original decision may need to be altered slightly as well due to the proposed revised drawing submitted. And that's all I have for you today.
Very good. Thank you. And when we get to the motion part, my understanding is you're going to come back and walk us through the motions again. Is that correct? Very good.
Yes.
Thank you. Any further questions of staff? Thank you. All right. Next, Principal Appellant. My recollection is you have 16 minutes and 34 seconds.
Since I'll be very brief, can I save some of that time for another council hearing?
No, not objection.
No way? Okay. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's a little bit lonely here compared to the other hearings. It's kind of empty around here. So, as I said, I'll be very brief.
Thanks, Dan.
After many months of hearings...
Who are you again?
Oh, Stan Penkin. Sorry about that. I thought you knew. After many months of hearings, discussions, and reviews regarding the proposed Fremont Apartments project, the revised plans provided to City Council by the applicant on April 11, 2018, have satisfactorily addressed the concerns of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. The applicant has made significant improvements to the Greenway, which now better serves the neighborhood and the city. We appreciate the addition of creative artists and plaza space that is in keeping with City Council's recent efforts to promote affordable art spaces in Portland. Other revisions, such as removing the originally proposed reduction in bicycle rack spacing and some setback adjustments, further improve the building's design. We thank Lincoln Properties and its architect, TVA, for hearing the Pearl community's concerns and responding to them in a manner that has created a better building than originally proposed. We look forward to positive collaboration with Lincoln Properties on future projects that may be proposed in the neighborhood. We hope that City Council will approve the revised plans as submitted. And that's all we've got.
Thank you, Mr. Penkin.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. All right, public testimony, 3 minutes each, name for the record. And please be very clear with this, whether you're in support or in opposition, just so there's no misunderstanding. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
I have one person, Nilsen Abil.
Come on up, sir.
Hi. My name is Nilsen Abil. I am a Pearl District resident of 26 years, and I'm here not to comment on the project, but to air, I have two grievances about this process. One is with the mayor and the council of overruling their design commission. And if you're going to appoint design commissioners, you have got to abide by their decisions. My second grievance is with, well, they serve at your pleasure. They are appointed by the city council, and they're professionals. I've worked with several of them over the last 25 years, and I know how devoted they are to the concept of good design in Portland. My second grievance is with my own Pearl District Neighborhood Association, who also has overruled their Planning and Transportation Committee, which when we formed the association was given executive power for the reason that it's the only professional committee in the Neighborhood Association. It's also made up of very devoted professionals. And lastly, I understand that there has been an approach to the developer for compensation, and I find this is egregious. This is a path which everybody in this room will eventually regret. I think it's unethical. I think it's tantamount to either blackmail, bribery, or hush money. And I think the idea that a neighborhood association would approach a developer to be compensated is something that, that this council should take up as a discussion. And if there's any way in which you can stop it, I would suggest you stop it. It opens up a bag of worms. No developer coming into Portland first has to go through your design commission and then the neighborhood's design committees. And those are the professionals. If you don't like your design commissioners, ask for the resignation and appoint new ones.
Thank you. Could I respond to that, please, sir? And first of all, I entirely respect your perspective. I want you to know that. However, I respectfully disagree. First of all, with regard to payments to the association or blackmail, I know nothing about that, and I want to be crystal clear. So I don't know what you are referencing, to be very clear. With regard to the design review commissioners, we do trust them, and we do respect them, and they advise us based on the rules that they are required to abide by, but ultimately it is our decision in this process as to whether or not we believe the conditions required are fulfilled or not fulfilled. And I would say this isn't so much as a battle as an honest disagreement over some facets of this approval process. We've disagreed with them before. That doesn't mean we don't trust them. It just means we have a disagreement. And this is the final stage of the design review process. This is what we're supposed to be doing, and what we are empowered to do as the representatives of the people in this community. And so I want to be very clear and on the record, as I was last time. I have not in any way reduced my confidence or my respect for the people sitting on the design review commission. They are volunteers. They are experts. They bring important perspectives to the table. I believe they do their level best. I believe they start with good intentions and they end with good intentions. But I want to put a marker down. We have a right to disagree under this process. And if people don't like the process, they can certainly change it. I would be the first to say I would be delighted not to be part of this process. But that's not how it works. As long as we are in the process, I will exercise the authority and the responsibility I have to do the process as well as I can. And so I respectfully disagree with your first comment.
Mayor,
Commissioner Fish.
You stole my thunder twice, and so I'll just be very brief, because I want to say to my friend Nelson Abiel that the last time that we had, prior to this case, that I remember a robust disagreement in this chambers was around an application that was made by the Jupiter Hotel to use roofing material for siding material on an annex they were building just to the east of the building. And there was a concern about whether that was the right material, whether it was had the durability and other things. And we had a room filled with very thoughtful people on both sides, architects, designers, people arguing. And I remember that at some point the council was persuaded to, quote, overrule the design commission simply to allow for a test case to see how this thing works. And it's almost completed. I walked by it the other day. I think it actually is a stunning building. The person I was with disagreed with me 180 degrees. So that's the maybe the peril of us making these judgments.
Right.
But I thought that was a reasonable outcome, even though we overruled the design commission, because I think the council wanted to see what a building would look like with that material, recognizing that if it failed, that the backstop was you'd have to go use a more traditional material. But to the mayor's final point, I have been doing a little preliminary research, and I've learned that in not every city do you have a clear right to go to a reviewing body. I mean, as long as there is the right of a party to come to council, if we were to adopt your view, Nelson, we'd essentially be saying there's a right that is meaningless. That it would come to us, we'd have a hearing and say we're loath to overrule the design commission, so we'd be wasting people's time. I actually think that based on the experience of other cities, we might want to make the threshold for an appeal more stringent, and either say, because I think what's happening now is a lot of decisions are just being appealed, which is tantamount to bypassing the design review commission. I would be open to a conversation about some restrictions, including what some cities do, where the appeal is only at the discretion of the appellate body. Sort of like the way the Supreme Court picks cases, that you'd have to have a more than one member of the deliberative body say, yes, we want to hear the case. So I'd be willing to have that conversation, because I don't think this is the right forum to constantly second-guess the Design Review Commission. But in those rare instances that we've done that, I've actually thought those conversations were quite principled.
In all deference to the mayor and to my good friend Nick Fish, I would like your suggestion to go forward, because I think that when I listen to commissioners talk about architecture and design, and I put them up against, you know, the people on the design commission, I think it's just really not the way to go. I think that the process for the future developers in Portland has become something in which they go through the process. They voluntarily come to the neighborhood associations. It's a volunteer deal. They get reviewed at the neighborhood association level by really pretty competent professionals, because I put a lot of people on that design, on the Pearl District Planning and Transportation Committee over the last 25 years, and I know their backgrounds, and I know they're professionals. And then to have a board, you know, overrule that committee is tantamount to what I'm talking about, having, you know, city council overrule a design commission.
Well, appreciate your point of view. Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly had a comment, so before you disappear.
Just to be clear, this is part of our job description. We sit in a quasi-judicial function. We didn't ask for this, and I agree. I don't think we're necessarily the ideal people to be making this ultimate decision, but we're not choosing to do it. It's part of the job description. So.
Well, in all due respect to that comment, I would suggest, as Commissioner Fish has said, let's get the process back and have it go through straightway. By the way, my comment about a negotiation over money to be paid to the Pearl District Neighborhood Association, I think you can question some people and find out that it's a fact.
Very good. Commissioner Fritz.
Land use decisions are, by state law, discretionary decisions on which reasonable people can disagree. We sit, as Commissioner Udaly noted, as quasi-judicial judges, as the final appeal, as the representatives of the people. And if we narrow who gets to appeal or how the appeals happen, that means that some people are left out. And the whole process here in Portland is about having people have their say to their elected officials. And if the tentative decision had been carried out, what would have happened would have been this application would have gone back to the Design Commission for their professional opinion. So this is a very unusual case. It hardly ever happens. I mean, we don't get very many design review appeals for a start, which shows that the process is working. And when we do, we rarely disagree with them. So I don't think you can say that the whole system is bust because you disagreed with what we're doing in this case.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're doing in this case. I'm simply saying that I would like to see the process go the way it should go, which is linear, and not end up in front of, with all due respect, no one of you is either an architect, an urban designer, or a planner. And Design Commission has got them all.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for the conversation. I think this is a good conversation. We agree on that. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's see. Applicant rebuttal. Applicant rebuttal. You have your opportunity to rebut.
They've waived it?
They have waived their rebuttal. Very good. So the evidentiary record, unless anybody requests that the record be held open or that this hearing be continued, seeing none, the evidentiary record in this hearing is now closed. That means the council will accept no further oral or written testimony on this matter. This is the opportunity for discussion or the offering of a motion. This might be the appropriate time for either staff or legal counsel to walk us through proposed motions.
At this point, I believe there are two potential motions. One, which would grant the appeal, overturn the decision of the Design Commission, and ask staff to return with revised findings. That would be to deny the application. The other would be to move that council tentatively deny the appeal, uphold the decision of the Design Commission as modified by the design revisions submitted by the applicant, removing conditions of approval H and K, and including revised exhibit numbers and days, dates, and asking the applicant and staff to return with revised findings.
And I assume...
I move the latter.
Oh, very good.
And I second it.
Very good. So we have a motion now on the table from Commissioner Fritz, and we have a second from Commissioner Fish. Any further discussion?
I'm just going to say that I'm going to have counsel now propose all my amendments in the future. That was very clearly stated, and thank you.
And we know legally it's likely to be upheld as well, which is always a good thing. So a reminder that this is a tentative vote, correct, legal counsel?
Correct.
Very good. So please call the roll, Carla.
Fish?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
So when the findings come back, I do not want to see any references to the 2035 plan because that's not what the approval criteria are in this case. If this were being reviewed under the 2035 plan rules or even under today's rules, we would have gotten 55 affordable units in this development and potentially an additional 65 units under the 2035 plan. So this the approval criteria, not that it's less objectionable than the previous one. I do appreciate the improvements to the conditions on the Greenway Trail, which is the most concern. I have concerns about the shadowing on the Greenway, the 45-degree angle, which is part of the approval criteria, but which I'm not feeling. I am not a design commissioner, nor an architect or a planner, as was pointed out, and so it's not to me to say that that another building would have been better. This particular building now looks to me to be quite bulky and would have benefited from future increases in height, which could have both increased the number of units and increased the form. I do think that I'm pleased with the accessible access to the affordable art space. I am pleased with the public drinking fountain, which I would like to see in the findings as meeting the guidelines on relating to the river and adding water features. I would not want the findings to in any way say that the river is the water feature, because that then means that in any future application that happens to border the river, there's no attention to that design guideline on relating to the river. And so that's why the drinking fountain is important, and I appreciate that addition. I appreciate that the so-called South Plaza is not going to be referenced. It's not a plaza. It's part of the Greenway. And the appropriate additional space is in front of the artist studio behind the Greenway Trail. I appreciate that. The plaza still is going to be in shadow for more than 70% of the plaza at noon. If a different development could have put the plaza on the south side, in which case it would not have been shaded. But given that there are now only two or three modifications instead of the six or seven that were on before, I think that the level of modification is such that had this been the first application that came to us, I would probably have thought that it was reasonable. I'm very grateful to Bureau Development staff. Commissioner Udaly, your staff has done an amazing job. Benjamin Nielsen, Hilary Adam, Stacey Monroe, and Cara Fioravanti. Brett Horner with Portland Parks and Recreation. Lauren King, Lindley Reese, and Tracy Reeve in City Attorney's Office. I think possibly never has a quasi-judicial process had more legal attention and a lot of work on the previous findings, which I know now you'll have a lot of work to say why what elements of the previous findings are still there and which ones not. So thank you for the work on that. Thank you to the Pearl District Neighbourhood Association. I think this was an important appeal to hear because it does set the precedent for what's going to happen with redevelopment all around here. It establishes what is and what isn't the view rights from the Fields Park. And I thought that was a very good conversation with the neighbourhood about Is that a value? And then your acceptance that the council said, actually, no, and there are other things that you brought up which were very, very valid. So thank you very much for that. And finally, Claire Adamsick and Tim Crail and my staff have also put an inordinate amount of time into this project. And thank you again. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your hard work on this. I agree with Mr. Abiel that the process getting to here was a bit messy. For some of us on this council, this was a new path down which we have not walked, and my expectation is hope is that in the future the process is perhaps more refined. However, I want to say this. I think it got to a really good place, and as I look at the work that the architects have done, I think they've been very responsive, and the developers have been very responsive to the concerns of the community. And I think this is a building that will be very well received, both by the people living there and the people living adjacent and all Portlanders. And I think it sets a very positive standard, not only in terms of the housing, but in terms of the environment in the vicinity of the building, respecting the importance of that iconic location immediately adjacent to the Willamette River. And as Commissioner Fritz has just indicated, it sets what I think is a very high bar for future development in that immediate vicinity. And that includes, by the way, some development opportunities that will be heavily influenced and or overseen by the City of Portland. So it sets a high bar for us as well at the City of Portland. So thank you, everybody, for that. The tentative vote is approved.
You need to vote.
Oh, I vote aye. Sorry, with all that glorious positive outpouring, I didn't even vote. So aye. Now we need to pick a date for the final vote.
The May date, okay. We've got Thursday, May 31st at 2 p.m. time certain.
Thursday, May 31st, 2 p.m. time certain for the final vote.
And one final matter. So that date is about a week after the 120-day clock expires. So I would like to have on the record the applicant concurring in waiver of the 120 days.
Very good. Sounds good.
Did they agree?
Yes, we have nodding of concurrence from legal counsel.
We heard a yes from their attorney.
Yep.
So very good. Thank you, everyone. We are adjourned.
Affordable.